Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Renaissance Global Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Jagdish Bhandari from Renaissance Global Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Danish. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Renaissance Global Q2 FY26 earnings conference call. We have with us today Mr. Sumit Shah, Chairman and Global CEO, and Mr. Darshil Shah, Managing Director of the company. We would like to begin the call with a brief opening remark from the management, following which we will have a forum open for an interactive question and answer session. Before we start, I would like to point out that some statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the results presentation shared with you earlier. I would now like to invite Mr. Sumit Shah to make his opening remarks. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Jagdish. Thank you for joining us for Renaissance Global's Q2 FY26 call. I'm pleased to welcome you, welcome all of you, as we review another quarter of strong operational delivery and strategic execution. Let me begin with an overview of our performance. The second quarter of FY26 has been characterized by sustained momentum and meaningful progress across our businesses. Revenues grew nearly 40% year-over-year. Part of this growth is on account of bullion sold to third-party factories in UAE for country of origin UAE manufacturing. This should normalize by Q4 FY26. Our direct-to-consumer business maintained its strong growth trajectory, delivering 43% year-over-year expansion. This performance was especially robust in our U.S. D2C brands, which grew 60% year-over-year, supported by deeper consumer engagement and strengthened brand presence. Profitability also improved significantly during this quarter. Profit before tax increased 69% year-over-year to 23.7 crores, while profit after tax rose more than 80% year-over-year, reflecting better mix, operating leverage, and disciplined execution. Our cost optimization initiatives continue to deliver strong, sustainable benefits. In Q2 FY26, total expenses, excluding sales and promotion, declined by 11.3 crores for the quarter compared to the same period last year. We thus remain firmly on track to deliver annualized cost savings of over 40 crores. I'm also pleased to share a major milestone in our premium lab-grown diamond jewelry strategy. Our second Jean Doucet boutique in New York City is set to open in mid-November 2025, marking the entry into one of the world's most influential luxury markets. We have already received a very encouraging number of appointment requests, reinforcing our confidence in the launch. Jean Doucet continues its strong trajectory, delivering 40% revenue growth in FY24 revenues. The New York flagship continues to contribute roughly 25 crores annually, 30% of the brand's total sales, demonstrating robust profitability and impressive retail productivity. We plan to open an additional two or three Jean Doucet stores in calendar year 26, bringing the total footprint to five locations. Each location is designed to be a meaningful contributor to both revenue and profitability, while further enhancing the customer engagement and scaling our direct-to-consumer portfolio. This expansion reinforces our commitment to ethical, luxury, brand-led growth and leadership in the fine jewelry segment. With this momentum, we remain confident of achieving our FY26 direct-to-consumer revenue target of 305 crores. While the first half of FY26 demonstrates our ability to deliver consistent growth with improved profitability, despite a dynamic economic environment, our focus remains on enhancing brand equity, delivering operational excellence, and deepening our global partnerships. With a balanced business mix and disciplined execution, we believe we are well positioned to sustain our growth trajectory and create long-term value for stakeholders. With that, I'll hand over the call to Darshil for a detailed walkthrough of our financial performance.
Thank you, Sumit. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us. I am pleased to share another quarter of strong financial performance for Q2 and the first half of FY26. Our sharpened strategic priorities, operational discipline and focus on higher margin businesses continue to translate into improved outcomes. For Q2 FY26, revenues grew 40% year-on-year. Despite a dynamic operating environment, our strategy of scaling owned brands, enhancing efficiencies and strengthening our portfolio mix is driving sustainable, high-quality growth. The momentum across H1 further reinforces this trajectory. EBITDA increased by 23.3% year-on-year to 43.1 crore, reflecting an improved product mix and disciplined cost management across the organization. The D2C business remains central to our long-term strategy. The segment demonstrated strong scalability, delivering 43% year-on-year growth, driven by exceptional performance in the US market, which expanded by over 60%. We remain firmly on track to achieve our FY26 D2C revenue target of 305 crores. D2C profitability strengthened significantly during the quarter, supported by improved mix, better unit economics and disciplined marketing spend. D2C EBITDA for Q2 FY26 grew 96% to 7.2 crores, with EBITDA margin expanding from 8.8% in Q2 FY25 to 12.1% in Q2 FY26, and with similar meaningful margin expansion across H1. Company-wide profitability also strengthened. PBT rose to 23.7 crores, up 69% year-on-year, supported by an improved mix and continued cost discipline. PBT before exceptional items for H1 FY26 stood at 45 crores, up from 33 crores in H1 FY25. This is a growth of 35% year-on-year. PAT before discontinued operations reached 20 crores, an 80% increase year-on-year, highlighting the resilience of our earnings and strength of our diversified portfolio. Our balance sheet continues to strengthen, with net debt improving to 0.24 compared to 0.27 last year, reflecting better working capital management and improved cash generation. Looking ahead, our strategic priorities remain firmly anchored in long-term value creation. We see significant opportunities to scale our D2C portfolio across both online channels and new store openings, especially in the US market, which continues to demonstrate strong traction and profitability. Our focus will remain on improving gross margins through product and channel mix optimization, strengthening marketing efficiency and customer retention, and maintaining disciplined cost management. With these actions, Renaissance Global is well positioned to deliver sustained, profitable growth and further strengthen its leadership in the high-margin, high-growth D2C segment. Thank you.
Thank you. Can we open the floor for question and answer?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much, sir. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Rupesh Satya from Long Equity Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. My first question, sir, is you said there were some bullion sales to UAE region for country of origin purpose. Can you quantify the number for Q2?
Yeah. So the number is somewhere in the region of 70 to 80 crores. So, you know, while the customer brands shows a growth of 47%, you know, there is an element of bullion sale to third-party contractors for casting purposes, in order to have country of origin UAE, so that sort of effectively reduces the sale of that that region. So you should look at sales for the customer brand segment as having a lower growth rate and being adjusted by about 75 crores.
And that would also explain the margin compression, sir?
That's right. Yeah. The gross margin, yes. Yes, the gross margin compression is explained by, you know, this sale of gold to a third-party manufacturer in order to cost. That explains the reduction in the gross margin.
So, I mean, excluding this gold sale, what would be our EBITDA margin on the rest of the business for Q2?
I haven't actually exactly calculated, but I think you can remove 75 crores from the sale and recalculate the EBITDA margin accordingly.
And gold will be what, 2% EBITDA margin?
Zero.
Okay,
we supplied gold to a supplier in order to for him to do a process, manufacture it and supply it back to us. So it was a sale of raw material done to a supplier, but due to accounting rules, we had to recognize it as a sale.
Okay. Clear, sir. And so the other question is, whatever 350, 360 crore sale we did in Q2 for customer brand, net of gold, excluding this gold sale, What percentage of this will be lab-grown diamond?
I would say that our broadly our mix now would be about 40% lab-grown, 60% natural.
This is across consolidated all segments, or this is just
customer? That's right. Across all segments.
Okay.
Customer brands will be a little bit lower. Direct-to-consumer would be higher. But consolidated across our business, excluding gold, would be about 40%.
Okay. And that segment, at least one of your listed competitors does significantly better margin. So what would be the margins on this 40% of the business?
I think the margins on lab-grown diamonds, according to us, are not really that largely that different from natural diamonds. They're in the similar range.
So, company average is what you're saying, 8-9%?
So, I think it was 9% for this quarter if you exclude the bullion.
So what you're saying is lab-grown diamond margins are also similar?
So, I think that, I don't think that the margins differ due to lab-grown diamonds or non-lab-grown diamonds. The margins are higher based on the distribution channel. So, our margins in lab-grown are now approaching 13-14%. For our direct-to-consumer business, and they would be maybe in the 7-8% for the B2B business. So I think that the margins actually are dependent more on the medium of distribution and how you distribute rather than, so when you are selling to a large retailer, I don't think they allow you to make more money whether it's lab-grown or natural diamonds. I think the negotiation is more on sort of the product price, and raw material is one of the functions. We are not of the belief that the margins are higher in lab-grown diamonds in any given distribution channel.
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
And in your, let's say, lab-grown diamond only, what percentage is finished jewelry and what percentage is, you know, just a cut or polishing of the diamond?
We are not in the business of cutting and polishing diamonds. All of our sales are finished jewelry.
Okay. I see. So, what kind of revenue growth and margin we can see for the December quarter, because it's a season in the US market and it's one of the biggest quarter for us, and unfortunately in this quarter only the whole tariff scenario hasn't been resolved yet. So how ready are you? Do you feel we'll be able to grow? Will we be able to make good margins? Any color around that?
So I think we see strong momentum across our various lines of businesses, and we've shifted our country of origin now to UAE, and we see no challenges on the tariff front. So it's business as usual, and we see strong momentum across our various businesses.
So how does the cost equation vary, sir, between India and UAE? Is UAE higher cost geography than India? I mean, without tariffs, I'm asking.
It has maybe a 1% impact on our cost structure. So I think that the margins that you are seeing now of 9% have an impact of about 1% dilution due to the cost of manufacturing in UAE. Ex that, the margins would have been 10%.
Okay, and what is the tariff on UAE from US?
It's 10%.
10%, I see. Okay, I'll come back in the queue, sir. Thank you for answering my question.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Palash Kavale from Nuvama Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations on good set of numbers. Sir, if I look at your absolute EBITDA for H1, there has been only 10% of growth, and this won't be having any effect of that bullion, right?
Yes.
How do you see H2 panning out? Because, if I look at your export numbers for month of October, those are very encouraging. So how do you see on an absolute level EBITDA and PAT numbers panning out?
Yeah, so I think, thank you for your question. One of the impacts obviously on the EBITDA is that, we've had to incur due to the tariffs around 1% of revenue as additional cost of manufacturing in the UAE. So there is kind of a 4-5 crore kind of impact in this quarter for on our expenses due to the fact that there were extra expenses incurred. So I think the absolute growth of 10 crores would have been 15 had it not been for the additional cost of manufacturing in the UAE. And I think Q3 being our largest quarter, we should see good operating leverage kicking in. So I think we are optimistic that we should be able to deliver very healthy numbers in Q3.
And was there any one-off in October? Because when I see your export numbers, those are very, the growth is very high. So is it because of the new store opening in New York, or is this the trend that there would be for the Q3?
Yeah, I'm not sure, the basis of your data. I mean, we obviously have had reasonably good Q3, but it's not been exponential from any standpoint. So maybe we can circle back as to where you got the data from, and Jagdish should be happy to sort of reply to your queries in terms of the numbers that you are seeing.
Okay, sure. And so on cash flows, your operating cash flow is still negative. So any plan, like how should we see for this year, for the whole year? Can the operating cash flow become positive for this year?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think, September is usually peak inventory. I mean, if you see year over year, we've now managed to reduce inventory by about 100 crores. And, we will see positive cash flow from operations for this year. I think that, March is probably a good time to evaluate once, a lot of the payments have been received from the season. So I think that, April to September is kind of peak build-up of inventory and shipping for the holiday season, and which we're in the process of doing now. And, a lot of that working capital gets released during the course of the year. So H1 is really not a good way to look at the cash generated from operations.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And the last question on debt side. I see your interest costs have come down for the quarter. So what was the reason for this? And any plan of reducing the debt for this year?
Yeah, I think the effort sort of is ongoing. I think that as we move towards direct to consumer and more working capital efficient businesses, I think that the money required for growth is far lower, and I think there's definitely going to be a meaningful effort to reduce debt. If you see in this quarter, we've been sort of buying in much shorter duration, so our trade payables are lower by about 80 crores. So we've made a meaningful effort to because when you pay faster, the cost savings on paying your payables faster is much higher savings than the cost of debt as well. So we've sort of made a conscious decision to actually pay our trade payables much faster, thus trying to improve our profitability. But I think that, our current sort of working capital levels are kind of peak levels, and we will see interest costs continue to reduce. I mean, they are currently lower because our utilization is has been lower during the quarter. I think the year end number is the quarter end number is a little bit elevated because of needs, October needs. We had a very high sales number in usually in October, November, December. So I think the the utilization of funds is represented by lower interest costs during the course of the quarter and the year.
And the last question, if I may, any plan of expanding on Indian front? Because I think that business has degrown in the quarter. So what are your long-term plans here?
Parash, the thing is that we are currently seeing a far greater return on investment in opening the physical footprint in the US. Our Jean Doucet store requires an investment of about 6 crore rupees and does sales of around 25 crores with a gross margin delivered of 70%. So we are talking in excess of 17-18 crores of gross margin. Operating costs are 5 crores. So, the expected profitability from each store is, anywhere from 5 crores to 10 crores. So, the return on investment, we are not seeing that kind of return on investment in, selling diamond jewelry in India. The return metrics are 14-15% at best. I mean, we've seen competitors who are doing 10 lakh rupees per month per store, averaging, 1 to 2 crore rupees a year to 5 crore rupees a year. I mean, here we are talking about a 25 crore rupees store with a 5 crore investment. So for us, the risk reward is far better in the US, opening 25 crore stores with a 5 crore investment rather than, an 8 to 9 crore investment and delivering a 10 to 15% return on capital employed on the India front. I think, the metrics change dramatically when retailers in India sell gold jewelry. We are not in that business. So, obviously the business models of large retailers in India are very good. But retailers who sell diamond jewelry or lab diamond jewelry, I think will, at least in our view and whatever we've seen of the landscape, will fail to deliver anything in excess of 10 to 15% return on capital employed.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's it from my side. Thank you for your answers and all the best for the upcoming quarter. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Our next question comes from the line of Srikant Parak from Prudent Investments. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes. Please go ahead.
Yeah. First of all, heartily congratulations for a great set of numbers. I have just one simple query. There is a substantial increase in the sales, so there is a pre-booking of quarter three in this quarter. Have you realized some of the revenue into this quarter?
So, I think as I mentioned earlier, I think that we've got to exclude about 75 crores of sales from our top line. Due to the changes in the current quarter, as tariffs were introduced on India in August, we have purchased some bullion and sold to a subcontractor and then bought castings from them because, we are currently operating as country of origin UAE. So there is, some subcontracting of product being done in UAE. And thus, because of this, the sales numbers are higher by 75 crores as compared to, what the numbers should be.
Okay. And I think so that the sale of the gold itself is the reason of the compression in the gross margin.
That's right. That's right.
So that was from all my side. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Jigar Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Yes, Mr. Shah, please go ahead with the question.
Am I audible?
You are audible, however, there is a lot of background noise.
I just want to ask that, as I got to know that the 75 crores of the sale of the last quarter, we have to deduct in this result. So just I want to ask that in this current quarter, what is the growth expectation of the company's growth prospects? Because on paper, the last year, the last quarter results look very good. But just I want to ask, and about the debt, what is the future company's plan for reduction of the debt? Thanks.
So, as I mentioned earlier, I think that, we are seeing healthy momentum across the business, and, we expect to continue, 40 to 60% growth in our direct-to-consumer business. The licensed brands and customer business will be sort of low double-digit kind of growth. So, we expect to see reasonable growth in the coming quarters. And in terms of our debt to equity, we're kind of comfortable with a net debt of around 200 crores odd that we are at as of today. As the business continues to generate cash, the gross debt number will continue to go down. We plan to manage debt prudently, keeping it currently at 0.25 debt to equity, which we feel is a healthy number. And, as we sort of continue to generate cash, growth is obviously priority one. Number two would be debt reduction. So, we plan to use our balance sheet judiciously and balance growth along with debt management.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Our next question comes from the line of Rupesh Tatia from Long Equity Partners, a follow-up question. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity again. Few clarifications. So, sir, this 75 crore bullion sale, will we see this every quarter?
I think there will be sale in the current quarter as well. Our own manufacturing facility is expected to come on stream sometime around the 10th of December. So, we will see some amount of sale in the current quarter. And from quarter four of the current year, it will discontinue because those sales would get knocked off in consolidation since it will be a subsidiary of ours in the Middle East. To answer your question, there will be one more quarter of sales of bullion in the current quarter as well.
So now you are showing 75 crore sales to a UAE subcontractor, then you get
that's
the casting,
right.
Then you make
yes.
the final product,
purchase.
And then that 75 crore
that's
becomes,
right.
I don't know, 120, 130 is what you recognize in the final.
So we sell gold worth 75 crores and we buy, castings worth 75 crores plus the conversion cost, right, from them. So 75 plus conversion is what we buy and then we sort of do the value addition in India, set the diamonds, finish, polish, and then ship to our various customers. So it's a subcontractor who was sold some raw material, and then we purchased converted castings from that subcontractor.
Okay, understood. And sir, the licensed brand, I think there was a degrowth in this quarter. I don't remember how it was in the Q1, but you are saying we can expect low double-digit growth for the full year basis.
Yeah, so I think other than the D2C, I think the combined two other businesses should see low double-digit growth, and it's, I think, part intentional because, those businesses are working capital intensive. And really our goal would be to really accelerate the direct to consumer business while keeping the growth on the other two businesses, licensed brands and customer brands, controlled to kind of low double digits, so that the working capital remains manageable, because our working capital cycle is quite long, and we don't want to end up in a position where the debt number goes up. So really, working capital efficiency wise, the direct to consumer business is very, very efficient, and really the idea would be to grow the direct to consumer business exponentially while keeping the growth of the other business in low double digits.
Okay. In customer brands business, sir, is all of this business just pure gold jewelry, no lab-grown diamond, or there is some portion there as well of lab-grown diamond?
No, yeah, there is no gold jewelry. It's only natural and lab-grown diamond jewelry. Currently, about one-third of the business there would be lab-grown diamond, and two-third would be natural diamond jewelry. But it's all studded jewelry. It's not plain gold jewelry.
In customer brands?
Yes. Across our entire business. We are not in the gold jewelry business.
Okay, and I mean, sir, lab-grown in U.S., if one reads, newspapers, media reports and all, it seems that business is growing very fast, 30-40%, CAGR kind of growth. But what you are saying is that either you are not seeing that kind of growth in the customer brands, or you are not looking at it as a very lucrative opportunity.
Yeah, I think that we are not looking at it as a very lucrative opportunity. We don't believe that the margins fundamentally are different when selling to large retailers, whether it is natural diamond jewelry or lab diamond jewelry, right? I mean, the large retailers know the prices of natural diamonds as well as lab diamonds, right? I mean, if in fact lab diamonds are far more transparent than natural diamonds because there are fewer qualities. So, logically speaking, there is no reason why one should make better margins on lab-grown diamonds when selling to large retailers. We believe that that category will remain, margin constraint when we are selling in the customer brand segment to large U.S. retailers. So, our belief is that yes, while there is a transition, there is also a cannibalization of natural diamonds that's happening, which is why our lab diamond share in the customer brand segment has gone from 3% to 30%. However, there has been some cannibalization of the natural diamond business as well. So I think when we look at that segment, customer brands, there is an effect of growth happening in lab diamonds, whereas there is a degrowth happening in natural diamonds.
Interesting. Okay. And so final question is, any operating efficiencies we are looking in our operations which can take this 8.2% margin in customer brands to 10-11% in next 1 or 2 years? Anything obvious that we can
do? Yeah. So I think that current quarter adjusted for the bullion, we are at about 9% margins. I think that as the share of direct to consumer increases, we are at about 13% margin. Our long-term guidance is that we believe that we can make 18 to 20% operating margins on the direct-to-consumer front, and mix change there will skew the margin upwards. And on the customer brand side, we've last year embarked on a cost reduction program where we've saved around 11 crores this quarter. So the run rate is 44 crores at the moment. And we expect that run rate to accelerate in Q4 to about 60 crores annually. So there's a further 15 crores of annual cost reduction that will happen between Q3 and Q4. So between cost savings and mix change, our margins should inch up, to double-digit numbers as you indicated.
Okay, and to this, cost efficiency program, can you give some qualitative color? What kind of things we are doing to take out this cost?
So I think that I've elaborated on calls earlier as well. We reduced our manufacturing footprint because we are actually manufacturing higher average order value pieces due to lab grown rather than natural diamonds. And so we've, you know, optimized our factory footprint, reduced headcount. We've moved a lot of jobs from the US to India and sort of managing efficiency there. So we've looked at, you know, sort of all cost items across our organization. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we've reduced around 45 crores of annual cost savings. In the last quarter, we took a 12 crore charge off for the shutdown of the Bhavnagar manufacturing facility. So we've now for the past 12 months, you know, been looking at various areas of the business and been reducing our cost footprint across the entire company.
And in our manufacturing, sir, the wastage percentage would be at par with industry or better than industry?
I think at par or better. I mean, you know, usually, you know, a lot of that data would be confidential, but we believe that we're at par.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for answering my question.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Vidhi from Raven Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible? Hello.
Yes, you are. Please go ahead, ma'am.
So I wanted to understand from you, what kind of exit growth rate are you looking at for FY26 to register in FY26 and FY27, considering the dynamics of the business and the tariff situation and everything?
So I think that you know, we're largely mitigated most of the tariff impacts currently. You know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, our country of origin from a manufacturing perspective is now UAE for all of our US businesses. I think as you're seeing, you know, we've seen healthy growth in H1. We continue to expect you know, healthy growth. Obviously now the most important part of the year is coming up in the next 45 days. But you know, I wouldn't want to comment on a specific number, but you know, we're seeing the demand environment in general across the geographies in which we operate to be relatively healthy. And you know, especially our direct-to-consumer business, which remains a focus, has grown at 60% for the quarter, and we expect that to continue for the coming quarters.
Great. And sir, for India, how do you plan to scale up? I'm sorry, I missed the earlier commentary since my call got disconnected.
Yeah. So, you know, currently there is no immediate plans to scale up in India. I think that for now, you know, we're trying to figure out the unit economics of our India business, and currently there is you know, no concrete plans to scale up in India. You know, currently the plans are to scale up our direct to consumer businesses in the US, and there's a wait and watch approach towards our India footprint.
Noted, sir. Great. Thank you so much, and all the best for the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions from the participant, I now would like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sumisha for the closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone. I hope we've been able to answer all your questions. Should you need any further clarifications, please feel free to contact our investor relations team. Thank you very much, and look forward to seeing everyone on the next quarterly call. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Renaissance Global Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.